Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 55. This is Jamie Russo. Thanks for listening. Today, we're going to dive right in. I have my GWA hat on today to talk about the results of our hot off the press industry research. We invite operators of shared workspaces to participate, and these are a range of shared workspace operators from co-working spaces, serviced offices, private businesses offering shared space, landlords offering flexible office directly to end users, and incubators. That about covers the range of participants. It's a pretty big ask because the operator has to sit down with a P&L to answer the survey, which is takes a bunch of time, and then they have to be willing to actually share their data. So this is not a trend survey. It's a financial benchmarking survey. So we ask for a lot of sort of personal information on the workspace. So the Global Workspace Association has actually conducted an industry financial survey for 8 years, almost consecutively. They didn't do one in 2016. In 2017, we kind of went over the top and launched both an operator survey as well as a survey to members of shared workspaces. And we reworked the survey this year to try to get data that we thought would be more practical. So the objective of the financial survey is to provide industry data that isn't captured by other organizations. Ours is very focused on collecting benchmarking data to help those in the industry or those thinking about getting into the industry as an investor or an operator to have a place to start when they're modeling their own business. So the final survey report covers a ton of ground, but I'm just going to cover a slice of it this week and talk about kind of a particular topic that I can weave the data into. So next week, I'm going to cover the member survey. So if you want the full operator survey summary, text 2017 data to 44222 and you'll get it delivered to your email. And if you're not in a place where you can text, I will also include a link to the download in the show notes at www.everythingcoworking.com/55. So I should mention that you can get the full super detailed report if you are a GWA member. So membership is only $297 a year, which includes a $200 discount on our upcoming conference. So between the discount to the conference and the access to the full detailed report, that's a pretty good deal. There are a bunch of other member benefits as well. I'll include links to membership in the show notes as well, in case you're interested in getting the full report. If you're looking for funding for your space, or if you're really just kind of getting started on researching models for your space, this data would be really important for you in your models and your pitch to investors and that kind of thing, so that you can show that your assumptions are based on industry data from an association. So I don't talk about my background too much on the show, but I have an MBA from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business in Finance and Entrepreneurship. So 2 years of that curriculum turned me into a data Excel-loving nerd. And I talk a lot on the show about my personal experience and, you know, sort of overall access to what's happening in the industry and trends in the marketplace. But I'm always trying to think about a problem starting with the data available and how to get into decision-making mode based on data as a tool versus emotion or using a small sample size. So I think that the GWA data that they collect is a super important decision-making tool. And part of the reason I'm spending time on it is because I'm a bit of a data nerd myself. So I'm going to go at this particular review of the data from the perspective of what I would want to know if I was thinking about being a provider of shared workspace. So the first question I'd ask is, can I make money? Just like with any other business, there are plenty of ways to lose money running a shared workspace. But with the right approach, shared workspaces are profitable. So I saw an article recently in a popular magazine that stated that 65% of all co-working spaces are not profitable. Well, 65% of those in the sample set for the survey that reported that data might not be profitable. But that data sample could be mostly new operators, operators in a particular area of the world, of a certain size, a certain layout. It's hard to tell. But based on our sample size, we have totally different data. So I wanted to share that. And I wanted to share a little bit about the operators that we surveyed so you understand where the data is coming from. So we surveyed operators that have been open for less than a year to those that have been open for more than 20 years. Only 6% of those respondents that provided an answer to the question, what is your annual profit per square foot, reported that they're not profitable. So the median annual profit per square foot per year for the full sample is $8.57. Again, that's per square foot per year. So the median for co-working spaces is slightly higher at $11.08. Again, that's from our sample size. And the profile of operators that we surveyed is 82% are in the U.S., 64% in urban areas. 80% of the co-working spaces that responded offer private offices. The median number of spaces run by each respondent is 2. 63% of the spaces reported that they are less than 15,000 square feet. 41% are between 5,000 and 15,000 square feet. So it gives you a bit of a sense of where our sample size comes from. And again, only 6% of our respondents reported that they are not profitable. So the next question you might ask is, where should I locate my space? So the median annual profit per square foot for urban spaces that responded is $11.80. Again, that's annual profit per square foot. Suburban spaces reported a lower number at $5.71. Those may be older spaces. They may be in less dense markets. There could be a lot of reasons for that. 79% of suburban members reported traveling less than 30 minutes to get to their shared workspace, and 70% of members of urban co-working spaces reported traveling less than 30 minutes. So our takeaway on these data points is urban spaces are more profitable, probably because they're in more dense locations with higher demand, maybe more awareness for shared workspace. And that is despite higher median rents. So the median rent per square foot on an annual basis in urban areas is $30 a square foot, and it was $24 in suburban areas. So make sure you do your due diligence on the area, you know, with about a 30-minute radius around the space where you're looking for space. 80% of your members are going to come from that 30-minute radius. So make sure it's full of small business owners, freelancers, and mobile corporate workers. So what should your product mix look like? This is one of the most often asked questions. And it depends on a lot of things, so there's no right answer, but we're going to share a little bit of data to help you sort of get closer to your own personal decision. So I'll start off with mentioning that 80% of the co-working spaces that responded offer private space. So they offer private offices either for individuals or team spaces. And the full survey results provide all the breakdown of how many offices and what size those offices are. Only 20% of our respondents reported fewer than 10 private offices. So 80% of the respondents to this survey have more than 10 per location. And this is likely a driver for their profitability. And the executive summary of our report results, one of the trends we highlight is the explicit desire for productivity by members of shared workspaces. So I think there's a myth out there that people go to shared workspaces to socialize, you know, beer on tap, ping pong tables, whatever. That is, you know, sort of a myth of maybe what early spaces were about, which was sort of, you know, being together. In reality, if you go into a co-working space, most of them are, you can tell people are trying to get work done. So, and this is becoming even more explicit. So in the member survey that we did, we see high demand for private offices, and members report that the number two reason they join a shared workspace is for greater productivity. So productivity and desire for community and a collaborative environment are not mutually exclusive. So if you have private offices, and you want to foster community, you can do both of those things and potentially be more profitable because you're filling the demand from your marketplace. It is a fact that some types of work just require doors and walls. So the number one reason that respondents of the operator survey cited for not closing a tour, so somebody's in their space, they're giving a tour, and the tour doesn't take a membership, is that they don't have any private offices available. So this is a pretty big indicator that the market is looking for private space. So if you think about it, there are a lot of mobile workers that put in a lot of phone hours and need quiet areas to focus and be productive and produce. These may be the very same members that show up first for the lunch potluck or offer to host a lunch and learn. Coworking does not equal open plan, and conversely, coworking profitability most likely equals a strong mix of private office and team suites with some open plan and conference rooms. And the full survey results talks about the revenue, the sort of average revenue of all products and service types. So conference room rental, virtual mail services, phone services, it breaks down all of that. Okay, so if I'm opening a new space, one of the next questions I would ask are, what are staffing costs? So next to rent, your next biggest cost is going to be staffing costs. Our survey showed, so one of the questions that we asked, in addition to what you pay your member-facing staff person, is what do you call them? What is their title? So I was a little bit surprised because I expected a lot of community managers. That typically is what sort of the media calls the member-facing person for a co-working space, but we got a pretty big range. So center manager was highest at 32%, and those respondents probably mostly came from serviced office operators. That's a typical title for that role. Community manager was 30% of the responses, so that's probably co-working spaces, but there were 38% of the respondents that listed something else, just a whole range of responses. General manager had the most other votes, but there was a pretty big range. So that's interesting. I think it would be helpful if the industry standardized for job description purposes, but it also just goes to show that there still is a lack of standardization in many cases in that role. So in terms of salary, and this was without benefits, 46% of member-facing staff are paid less than $40,000 a year, but 37% make more than $50,000 a year. So there's kind of a split there. Okay, so after some of those cost factors, you start to ask, what size space should I operate? Again, this is another question that people kind of get stuck on and try to figure out. And I think most people go at this thinking, how much am I willing to pay in rent a month? They sort of have a number in their head that feels like they could actually sleep at night with that number, which is important. And there are a lot of factors to think about when you think about how big your space is going to be. But I just want to kind of give a framework for thinking about that in terms of profitability and fixed and variable costs. So, and this kind of goes back to the median profit per square foot discussion that we got from the data. And I'll kind of walk through, I'll put this in the show notes because it's kind of a bit to think through over audio, I think, but I think it's a really helpful way to think about it. Okay, so if you think about, you know, what size space, so a lot of considerations again. Build out costs are going to be much higher for a bigger space than a smaller space, especially if you're doing private offices, because private offices are expensive. You have to do a lot of electrical, you have to do internet wiring, you have to do sprinklers, HVAC, like all that stuff has to be specific to each office, which adds up really quickly. As I mentioned, the liability of the monthly rent, you might be able to sleep much better with a monthly rent liability of $10,000 a month versus $20,000 a month. And I think the other factor is the ability to fill a larger space. I mean, it's super market dependent, which is why this question is hard to answer. It depends on competition, market awareness, market demographics. So you have to take all these things into consideration when you're thinking about how big of a space you're going to open. But to get to sort of the financial modeling of a bigger space versus a smaller space, let's talk about the revenue potential and the four largest costs for co-working spaces in a 4,000 square foot space versus an 8,000 square foot space. Okay, so start with the 4,000 square foot space. The revenue side, and we're just going to double it for the 8,000 square foot space to make it really simple. Say you have 8 private offices. So you're taking in, say, $8,000 a month, $1,000 an office. Again, we're keeping it super simple. That may not reflect your market pricing. 12 dedicated desks. That's at $400 a piece. So that's $4,800 a month. 15 co-working members at $300 a month. So that's a total of $4,500 a month. Gets you to $17,300 a month. So your costs, your four biggest costs: rent, internet, staff, marketing. It's a little bit out of order because staff is more than the other two. The first one is rent, and that's variable, right? It changes based on the size of your space. So in urban areas, the median is $30 a square foot. So if we're doing a 4,000 square foot space, that's $10,000 a month. The internet is, say, you have a decent fiber connection at $1,500 a month. Your staff at $30,000 a year is $2,500 a month. And I'm using that as kind of the, a large chunk of respondents pay their staff $30,000 or less. So we're going to use that as the number. You spend $1,000 a month on marketing. That may be high, that may be low, but that's going to be basically fixed. It doesn't matter how big your space is. You have to, spend a certain amount to drive traffic into your sales funnel. So you have an 8,000 square foot space. So net income for your space is $2,300. That's before all the other expenses like coffee, toilet paper, maintenance, etc. But it's like taking out the big expenses. So this is a high profit per square foot because we haven't put in all the other expenses. Comes out to $690 a square foot per year in profit. So if you take the 8,000 square foot space and you double the private offices, so you have 16, you double the dedicated desks, so you have 24, you double the co-working members, so you have 30. That gets you to $34,600 a month with the same pricing. It's double the revenue, basically. Your expenses, however, so your rent goes up, so you're at $20,000 a month on rent, but your other costs, again, at an 8,000 square foot space, your internet, your staff, and your marketing are the same. So I use 8,000 square feet because I tend to think that once you get over 8,000 square feet, you have to add staff, at least a half-time person. Probably you start to need 2 people if you have a full 10,000 square foot space, depending on how busy it is, how needy the members are, the type of services you offer, all of those things. But I think it's safe to say you could run an 8,000 square foot space with 1 staff person and a 4,000 square foot space with 1 staff person, which is why I think this is an important exercise. So net income for the 8,000 square foot space is $9,600 before all the expenses, coffee, toilet paper, etc. So that comes out to be $1,440 per square foot per year. Now, this is higher, again, than the median square foot profit per square foot that I mentioned earlier from the survey results because we haven't taken out all the extra expenses. So this is really just considering the big expenses. But for the purpose of comparing apples to apples, the 4,000 square foot versus the 8,000 square foot, $1,440 versus $690. So that's a huge difference. Now, some of the expenses, the smaller expenses, are going to be linear based on square feet because you're going to have more people in the space. More people drink more coffee, use more toilet paper, more paper towels, all those things. So those expenses will be higher for a bigger space. So this is not an entirely apples to apples discussion, but for a back of the envelope calculation, it kind of gets you thinking about the economies of scale, and there are a ton, but some to having a bigger location. So it's a super simple P&L scenario just to serve as a thought starter. And again, when you're building 16 offices versus 8 offices, your startup costs are going to be a lot higher. So that's something to think about, and your rent cost is going to be a lot higher. But your profit per square foot has the potential to be higher. So it just kind of depends on your, you know, availability of startup funds, your risk tolerance, those types of things. But I just wanted to get you thinking about that. Okay, so the survey covered a lot more information, but I wanted to include a little bit of data that can help the new operator or someone who's investing in the space. And I also think I've probably hit the level of numbers that you can absorb in one podcast. So I'm going to stop this conversation here. And again, it's a ton of detail. So I'm going to put all the detail into the show notes, and you can get the summary of the survey data by texting 2017 data to 44222, or I will put the link in the show notes at www.everythingcoworking.com/55. And make sure to tune in next week, because we're going to cover some high-level results from the member survey. So I hope I didn't overwhelm you this week. It was a lot to go through, but hopefully really useful, or at least piqued your interest in getting a look at the survey results. So go and download those and kind of absorb this on your own time, and we will be back next week to go through the member data.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.